Welcome to episode 5 of Listeners' Voices. And we've been having rotating co-hosts here so far. Jane Timke joined me the first time, Frances Burge for a couple of times. She was introducing me last time. And this week, I'm happy to introduce Peg Zahorek.
Hello, Fran. It's fun to be here with you and with the listening audience.
Yeah, indeed. So, Listeners' Voices, what's it all about? I think, just in case people are still tuning in for the first time, this slot is one that used to be occupied by the Polka Show, Linda Lee's Polka Show. And I always like to remind people that is still with us on Wednesday afternoons at 5 o'clock. And then that was followed by the KGUA Writers Program from Gualala, California. We're not airing that currently, but we are considering a spot for it again in the lineup. If you enjoyed that show and are missing it, you can find their episodes on SoundCloud. Just Google KGUA Writers, and they'll come up. They have about 178 episodes archived there. And their email address, if you want to find out more about participating in that show, they have an email address. It's kguawriters@gmail.com. And that was kind of the model for this show. We're encouraging people to respond to our prompt of the week, and either written or recorded. And the recorded thing usually happens with somebody making a voice memo on their smartphone and then emailing it to us.
Fran, I just want to say it was really fun to hear last week's show with you and Frances, and there were so many different people from the area that either had a recording or that sent in something to write that we'll read, and we'll do that again today. Mm-hmm. It was just wonderful to hear local voices and to hear what people have to say about the area.
That's great. Well, that's the point of the show. We really want to get more representation by people who live in our listening footprint, as well as from afar. If you're streaming us someplace on the other side of the world or elsewhere in the country, you're also welcome to contribute to our show by all means. And our email address is ktwhwriters@gmail.com. That you can get on an email list from that email and get the weekly prompt emailed to you usually on Friday or Saturday. And then we accept submissions through Wednesday night or maybe Thursday morning to be included in the next Saturday show. We've done it twice now that we've had a prompt go for 2 weeks. We're considering doing that for all the prompts, maybe, to give people a chance to respond, and they may maybe something from the first episode responding to a particular prompt stimulated something in your memory or your thoughts that you'd like to contribute. And actually, you can contribute to any of the prompts we've ever had in the past. And we actually have only had 3 so far. The first 2 episodes were about this weird winter, and we're still suffering through this weird winter. So any more contributions you might want to make on that subject are always welcome. We had an episode about your song, what song you identify with or kind of speaks for you or just is a favorite song. And we probably will be including some more of those still towards the end of this episode after we thoroughly treat the subject at hand for this week and last week, which is what businesses do you miss from Two Harbors from the old days? Or if you weren't here in the old days, what businesses would you like to see come to Two Harbors? So that's the subject of the week. Anything else we want to get into? We'll be giving the new prompt. We will go for a new one by next week, and we'll be talking about that later. But I'm happy to say that you can get a preview on it if you want. While you're listening to us, open up your North Shore Journal, and they have a short article about us this week. The Lake County Press did one on us last week. The Journal is going to make an attempt to run our prompt every week and in a little box someplace, so you can get used to trying to look for it. And it's in this week's paper that just came out yesterday on Friday.
Well, Fran, that is great information, and I think we should start with one of the comments from our listeners just to give people, our listening audience, a little taste of what we're talking about here.
Okay, indeed. So do we want to hear a recorded one? Or let's see, we've got three recordings and we have three written responses.
Let's start with the recorded one.
Okay, Richmond is at it again. We are so grateful for Richmond's participation in this show. He gets around with his iPhone and talks to people. He doesn't have the people's voices themselves, but he talked to three of his friends this week, and he shares with us what they had to say.
Hello, this is your roving reporter, once again, Richmond. Yesterday, while speaking with friends Cherie, Elaine, and Brian, we were discussing further thoughts on what businesses did they miss from the bygone days, and what businesses would they like to see return to Two Harbors? Well, the answers to that question are this. There were several of them. Radio Shack. Evidently, Two Harbors had a Radio Shack. So did a lot of other cities, but Radio Shack is long gone. There was a flower shop by the post office. And there was a Taco Bell. Sounds like it was off over on the side somewhere by where the current Burlington candy shop is. And then there was a Miller's restaurant, which has since burned down. And then the question was, did that exist in the vacant parking lot over by the Dairy Queen? There was also a restaurant called the Dixie Star. Evidently, that was a fried food, fast food restaurant. And then Emily's. Emily's, I think that was down in Knife River. And then finally, they said the Lighthouse Restaurant. So all of these businesses are from bygone days. And my friends, Cherie, Elaine, and Brian, would like to see them return. Thank you.
And thank you, Richmond. So, lots to catch up on here. We want to give some background on all these places that were mentioned. We should explain. So, I've lived between Two Harbors and Duluth since 1972. I didn't really become particularly Two Harbors identified until more towards 1982-83 when I first lived up the Drummond grade, and so I may not. Well, some of my memories do go back to the early 70s. And how about you, Peg? How long have you been?
Well, I've been in the area for about 40 years. I was living in Duluth starting in the early 80s, but then moved up to the Knife River area in the late 80s, I guess, into that area. Which mm-hmm. so that makes Two Harbors my town. Because it's much closer and, oh, so much fun to come here.
All right, good. Yeah.
And walk the go down to the harbor, walk the Lighthouse Point trails. What a gorgeous place to be.
Yeah, the breakwater. Yep. Yeah, good for you. A lot of people who live anywhere on the Duluth side of Two Harbors just seem only able to look at Duluth and come and go, I think. But I'm glad that's not true. For you, and maybe for many Knife River people.
Right.
Maybe I'm not aware. So in the order that they were mentioned here, yes, indeed, there was a Radio Shack. It is where McQuaid's restaurant is now. And I believe we're going to hear from Jody Zastera later in the show, and she has quite the thorough history of businesses in Two Harbors, especially along First Avenue. But she reminded me, I think what she meant was that had been a gas station at one time. In fact, maybe I vaguely remember that. Then subsequently it was Carmody's and I don't know what all else maybe, but indeed there was a Radio Shack right here in town. The flower shop, do you remember that, Peg?
I don't. Well, of course, we do have a flower shop.
Oh,
we have a greenhouse.
Right.
Yes.
The one downtown. In fact, I think it was Seagren's. I think that was the name on it. It was across a friend of Richmond's, either Elaine or Cherie, said that it was by the post office. It was across the street from the post office. It might have been where that garden is now. There's a gap in the buildings there, and the Soil and Water Conservation people, I think, maintain that garden.
Well, that's appropriate to have a garden be where a flower shop used to be.
Indeed, right. If it wasn't right there, it was with one storefront in one direction or the other, but I kind of think that's where it was. Neither Peg nor I have any memory of a Taco Bell in town. I think she might be thinking of where there was a Hardee's.
Yes, because in that area that she mentioned, mm-hmm. the Hardee's used to be right there.
Right, where the Envy hair salon is now, I think, right. But maybe there was a Taco Bell and we just overlooked it. I don't know. Millard's Restaurant, that was great. Yes, it was it was an institution. That was, it was kind of, I guess Judy's fulfills that role now maybe a little bit, but where local people used to hang out a lot. And it was very, as I recall it, very busy all the time.
Didn't we have an interview with the man who used to own Miller's?
Did.
And I believe that he plays the accordion, just a little piece of trivia.
And he started playing when he was like 80 years old or something.
So, and yeah. Quite good.
Royal Miller,
yes. Yes, thank you.
So that used to be either where the Odyssey real estate is now. It's about a half a block from where they suggested it's that vacant lot by the Dairy Queen, or across 7th
across
Avenue
the
from
street.
The Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a half a block west from there then. There are a vacant lot or two in that area, but the Odyssey building, I believe, that's approximately where it was anyway. Same block as Judy's, just a little bit down from there. The Dixie, we did mention that last week. That was about 5 or 6 miles north of the Holiday Station on the east end of town. I wouldn't call it a fast food place. It had fried foods, I'm sure, but definitely not. It was a lot like the Earthwood in my memory.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And, you as a Knife River resident can address the Emily's situation.
Yes. It is a sad, sad thing for many people in Knife River that Emily's is no longer there. It was our general store for a long time. Went in there to get everything, including our mail. We'd go in and have little P.O. boxes, which we still do. In the early days, before we had a post office, we did use Emily's for our post office.
It wasn't known as Emily's at that time, I don't think, but that building.
Right. It was the general store at the time.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And it switched to Emily's while we still were getting our mail in our cute little boxes. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when we switched over, anyway, we got to keep our little boxes that we used. They were very decorative. Oh, so cute. Anyway, we miss Emily's. It was a tradition and a historic building there in Knife River.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody could tell us a lot more about that.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So the Emily's also has a connection to the Lighthouse Restaurant that was mentioned. Do you want to tell us about
that? Yeah, the Lighthouse Restaurant that one of our listener contributors mentioned started over off of Homestead Road. And there was actually a building built that had a little lighthouse thing on it. And that was there for a long time. And when Emily's was going through a transition, that lighthouse, well, there's a big story here that I'm going to skip, but the lighthouse then ended up where Emily's is.
The restaurant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That was a good place, very much missed.
It was. There was music there
live
and everything.
Music, so. Right. Yeah. Yep.
Well missed. Would be nice to have more of those kind of venues around.
Indeed. So I think we'll move on to some written submissions we had this week. Here's an anonymous submission we had come in by email. Having grown up in Two Harbors in the 60s and 70s, so that predates most of our experiences there, two places I miss most are the Beacon Tavern on First Avenue and the Sidetrack Restaurant. The Beacon Tavern was on First Avenue next to a Ben Franklin store on one side and a bakery on the other. Falk's Rexall Drug was on the corner next to Ben Franklin. We'll be hearing a lot more about that from Jody Zestera later about the Falk's drugstore. But I don't have any memory of the Beacon Tavern. No one else has mentioned it, but so that's really interesting. But Leo did mention last week the Sidetrack, which was where some of the big parking lot of Sanju Motors is now.
I think Garrison Keillor even mentioned the Sidetrack Cafe.
Well, the Sidetrack Tap. That was one of his places in Lake Wobegon.
But, right.
Yep, Peg and I both remember that that establishment very well and miss it a lot. Mm-hmm. That's succumbed to a fire, as did the Dixie we mentioned earlier. Sorry to say.
Should I read a little contribution from a woman named Judy?
Please do.
Judy says, I would like to see a discount haircutting business like Great Clips or Cost Cutters. Do they even exist anymore, she wonders? And an Aldi grocery store. I go to Duluth to shop at those businesses. It would be nice to have them here, she says. And then there's Maureen. Mm-hmm. Maureen says, remembering some Two Harbors businesses such as Ben Franklin, you could get everything there. You could get little pets, birds, and fish. There was sewing stuff, patterns, and bolts of cloth. That was a biggie. And pretty things like old-fashioned hankies. Maureen continues, True Value downtown, when they moved, it was really hard. They had everything, cleaning supplies and rugs and even emery boards. It was convenient and it was close by for people who have a hard time getting around. The trading post was near where State Farm is now, next to a bakery on the corner. The trading post had sturdy wool shirts and rugged stuff that was good for working outdoors.
And lastly, Maureen mentioned Laura Lee was a little department store, like a baby Dayton's. Because you have to know what Dayton's is, but it's been a while since there's been Dayton's around either, but they didn't get beyond Minneapolis, I think. But we've heard about Laura Lee from others, too. They contracted with Split Rock for the clothes the employees wore. Interesting little factoid there.
Yeah,
so we did want to mention True Value came up last week, too, and which is Seagren's. And they had to make a tough decision after expanding up to the former Shopko, whether to they were able to keep both places going. And unfortunately, they are only up there by Shopko now, but or not by Shopko, by Super One. They're still a great business. You can still get so many different things there.
You know what I really appreciate going in there? Well, first of all, that it's a local business and that they took this big risk to go in. But I just have to say, I've gone in a few times, and every time you are greeted right away. Like, always, every time I've gone in, immediately people say, can I help you find something? And mm-hmm. that is so nice. You know, I was looking for coloring art things for a child I know who I wanted to give stuff to. I had no idea where that was. And mm-hmm. then the last time I was in, I needed a little humidifier, and they're just brought me right over to it. Oh, I appreciated that.
And especially helpful after decades of knowing exactly where to go to find what you wanted in the downtown store.
Right, exactly.
That's a really a great service. So mm-hmm. even though it'll take everybody a while to get used to where things are in the new one, you'll get lots of help.
Yeah.
Yep, and the trading post was so cool. That was like a Minnesota Surplus store, Duluth's Minnesota Surplus. Really practical things. And that, imagine having that little Minnesota Surplus right on First Avenue down there, mm-hmm. along with so many things that have gone by
and
the
Fran,
wayside.
And Fran, you wanted to bring up something that you remembered.
Yeah, there was a very short-lived business, probably next to where that flower shop was across from the post office. It was a food co-op, and it was just like the food co-op in Duluth on a small scale and all volunteer. And I remember, I don't know that I met Sherry's off there, but I just had only known her kind of distantly. And I remember her, she was a volunteer there. I wonder if it even lasted a year. I don't know. I don't know if anybody else remembers that. It was probably before your time, Peg.
I don't remember that at all. That would be great.
Yeah. And the food co-op, the Whole Foods co-op in Duluth did, when it considered where to expand its second store to, it considered Two Harbors, but ended up out in the west, West Duluth, which was a good move for their purposes, I'm sure. But that would have been a nice thing to have. Yeah.
Well, Fran, I wonder if we should give people a little break from our voices and get a few recorded features in here.
Oh, right. We do have more. Thank you, Peg. Yes. So I'm so glad I tipped off Tom Kohler about this episode of Listener's Voices because I knew he had been around several decades and that his mother used to have a business in Two Harbors. I was thinking it was on First Avenue, but I learned otherwise listening to his recording today. So here's about 3 minutes of background from Tom Kohler on businesses in Two Harbors.
I settled here in December of 1971 after getting out of the Navy submarine service. I was a stranger, an outsider. I accidentally got a job at the Abex Foundry, thanks to a member of the city council then, and have been here ever since. Two Harbors, a half century ago, was significantly different. The city was basically a dependent of the railroad, and Duluth was a lot farther away. Whatever you needed, you got it here. There were multiple grocery stores and a place that specialized in meats. There were multiple bakeries. There were stores selling men's clothing, stores selling women's clothing, and a department store selling a wide variety of goods. A couple of hardware stores, a couple of lumber yards that also handled coal and masonry, and a couple of jewelers who also worked on clocks and watches. There was a shoe store and a couple of shoe repair shops because shoes were made to be repaired instead of discarded. There was a store that sold work clothing and outdoor and sporting goods and heavy American-made flannel shirts. I got my first Tubbs Vermont snowshoes here, the long Alaska Trail wood-framed ones with rawhide lacing and leather strap bindings. I got my first hip boots here, too. Dot did not charge me sales tax on them either because she said they were a legitimate agricultural item. This was the TP Trading Post and my favorite store for all of my clothing needs. I still have a couple of the flannel shirts from there, but they are more rag and hole than shirt after all these years. I think that sometime with the scissors and sewing machine could see me making a wearable shirt from the remnants of those old shirts. Someday. We had a Sears and Roebuck catalog store here, and I got my very first credit card there. If you could get a Sears charge card, you were a really solid customer, for sure. I used it so much, I still remember the card number. There was a Montgomery Ward's catalog desk here, too, but I never shopped there. Sears may have been my religion, as I never even considered Ward's. My mom had the style shop after about 1967, while I was in the Navy. We were from Minneapolis, and the construction of Highway 35W pushed us out of Minneapolis. She changed the style shop from women's dresses and all that was under them to women's sportswear. Her store was originally on 6th Street, approximately where the Napa Auto Parts store is now. After J&J Lumber moved to the old Scan, known today as Architectural Antiques, Mom moved her store to a portion of the new J&J Lumber location. Mom said that she was the one who put the women of Two Harbors into pants.
Thank you, Tom.
That was really fun.
Yeah, yep.
That was a wonderful rendition, and yes, I loved the line, shoe repair when shoes were meant to be repaired rather than thrown away. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, it's really hard to find. I think there might be one in Duluth last time I looked, but which was 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember one of them was on 8th Avenue, just one block north of the main drag through town. And in, the old guy who was there, actually, this was in an era which was probably the late 80s, I think he was still there, or early 90s. That I considered a career in shoe repair. And I even went and investigated at the, whatever it was called at that time. Now it's something like the Minnesota Community College near Loring Park. But it was more of a, it wasn't Dunwoody, but it was more of a technical school, I guess. And talked to the woman there who taught the class, and I was really into it. But then a sudden opportunity to go to Korea came up, and that kind of put the kibosh on the whole thing. I never got back to it.
Well, it was really nice to have a reflection with that kind of history. Thank you very mm-hmm. much, Tom.
Thanks, Tom, and it's so delightful to hear your voice, other than we do get to hear him interviewing Kitty with the headlines of the Lake County Press every week, but listening to you reading this reminds me of your stories that you recorded for us early in our radio history here, and maybe we need to revisit those again.
Well, what do you think about Jody? Should we hear a little from her?
We will hear from Jody, and this is a very thorough background of especially the one block on First Avenue down there where most of these businesses we've been talking about, reminiscing about, were or within a half block of there. But Jody Zestera goes way back, and many of you probably are aware of Jody. She'll give us a little bit of her background for starters here.
This is Jody Zestera. Fran Kelleher has asked me to talk about old-time Two Harbors. I grew up in Two Harbors, graduated from high school in Two Harbors. I moved away for a number of years and taught in Germany, taught in Nebraska. And then I moved back and started the Kids and Company program at the Minnehaha, the North Shore School, and the Silver Bay Schools. And I retired from Kids and Company in April of 2019. So here are some of my memories of First Avenue in old time Two Harbors. Well, in 1948, my father, Joe Zestera, came up from Nebraska and worked at James Drug, which is now where the Harbor Rail Pub is. Then he went back into the service and came back again in 1952, I believe, and worked over at Falk's Drug, which is where Superior Fines is right now. Then went back to Nebraska, and then we moved back up here in 1956. And he worked under Mr. Falk, Charles Falk, and then Charles Falk wanted to retire, and Ted Norlin was working there as well. And so Ted and my father bought out Charles Falk, and then in 1967, my mother and father bought out Ted Norlin. And so Falk's Drugs was our business until the 1990s when my parents sold it for the first time. So I really do miss that drugstore. Next to them was the New Life Cafe, which was very interesting because they had those jukeboxes on the wall at each booth. So you could put money into the jukebox and get played, you know, all sorts of different music. Then when my dad expanded the store, they took over the New Life Cafe and put all the Hallmark display in front of all of those murals that were on the wall where the jukeboxes were. Next to there was the dime store, which became Helgeson's Ben Franklin. That was there for many, many years. That's where part of the bank is now. And Costly Law Office now is where the Harbor Bar used to be, where they still do fish cakes at Christmas time. Then there was Laura Lee. The Carlstroms had that for many years. It was named after their two children. Then it became Dory Pearson's, and she kept it as Laura Lee. And now it's the Tipsy Mosquito. And then there was a bakery down there, which, of course, we don't have any bakeries on First Avenue anymore. There was Nelson Brothers. And there was also Carlson's, where they had high-end ladies' clothing. So all of that on the upper side of First Avenue is all completely gone and changed. On the lower end of First Avenue in that block, again, was James Drug for quite a number of years. And then in the 90s, it became Denny's. It was a little restaurant. And then it became Bonnie's. And it changed hands over time, and now it's the Harbor Rail Pub. Next to there was Ray's Shoe Store, which was incorporated as part of Seagrin's when they were downtown. Jacobs and Plumbing was in there, and that became part of Seagrin's as well. When we first moved to town, 1956, where the Legion is now, was Sanju Motors, car dealership. And now that's the Legion. Then the Levitts had the Corner Cafe right down on the corner. Ship's Galley was over across from the where Harbor Rail Pub is now, and it's now the apartment building. Ship's Galley was in there. Cutter's Pizza was in there. There was a bowling alley down there on First Avenue. So there are a lot of things that have changed on First Avenue. The electric shop was up 6th Street, and then they moved down to where Seagrin's is, and then they became Gamble's. We had a theater. I think the theater is still there, but it's not used as a movie theater anymore. A lot of things that I wish were still here.
Don't we all?
Change. It's the one thing we can count on. But these are great ideas of different things that can be expanded in this Two Harbors community.
And the movie theater may yet again rise.
Ooh, that would be exciting.
I mentioned that on a previous episode. I know there is interest in contacting the owner, at least for using it for a particular purpose and or possibly purchasing it. And it is, as far as I know, it's still decked out with 150 chairs and a huge stage and a movie theater screen. Last I was there, I talked last week about our early cabin fever relievers. A couple, the first 2 years were there, and that seems to be about the last time back in the mid-late 20-teens that it was operating, but we would love to see something happen there again.
That's quite the teaser, Fran. we can all just hope.
We'll stand by and
we'll
see.
We'll hope for a theater and for rain.
Right, yeah, indeed. Definitely needed now. So I was making some little notes here. I misspoke on a previous episode. I was thinking that where is now the Harbor Rail had one incarnation as a Bridgman's, but Jody said that they did have a soda fountain in their drugstore, which is across the street, Superior Finds business now, and that they had Bridgman's ice cream there at their store. And there was a restaurant in what is now Harbor Rail, which is what I remember there when I first came to town. There wasn't still a drugstore on that location. And I think that they possibly served Bridgman's ice cream at that restaurant, because by that time, I think there wasn't a soda fountain anymore if that drugstore, the Falk's drugstore store, was even there. Anyway, I wanted to correct that misrepresentation. Carlson's high-end ladies' clothing.
Wow.
Wow, that must have been quite something. People came from far and wide, I imagine. And Sanju, I'd forgotten it was ever in what is now the Legion, and before it expanded into the huge phenomenon that it is now, it existed where the Quick Trip is now. Not everybody has been around long enough to realize that. Let's see what else. The Cutta's Pizza, as you mentioned, I think is referring to where the Due North Pizza is now, possibly. Anything else she mentioned? Oh, the Tipsy Mosquito. I didn't realize that. I've always wondered where Laura Lee's store was, because I don't remember that one. It did, before it became the Tipsy, it had life as the Portside Pizza. And we did discuss that last week also.
And several of my friends have talked about when their kids were young, they'd go in there and buy clothing for their children
at Laura
in
Lee's?
That location where the Tipsy Mosquito is now.
Oh, so, yeah, that was
this is
Laura
all
Lee
sort
then.
Of reminding me of a Suzanne Vega piece where she said, she talks about walking down the street and she says, oh, now I'm going by where the gas station used to be and now I'm here.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. So thank you, everyone, for these reflections on all of these wonderful businesses, and I hope we continue to change in ways that are varied. The old becomes new again. If we can have more varied businesses, this is a really good inspiration about what's possible here in Two Harbors.
Right. There's been a couple of reference wishes for
bakeries.
Bakeries, definitely, yes, where you can get some actual loaves of bread.
Yeah.
We have a lot of good sweets in town, but loaves of bread and a smaller grocery store or an alternative grocery store. And I remember there being an IGA that might have been mentioned last week. It's where the Auto Value store is now. Mm-hmm. And apparently there used to be more than that as well. And I was just thinking of something else I was remembering. Darn, I don't, that's escaping me right now. Maybe it'll still come back.
Well, I can put in something that I miss that was only here for a few years. And Fran and I are debating about exactly where it is. But regardless, these people sold outdoor equipment, you know, canoes, canoe paddles, if you're going into the boundary waters, all of that kind of stuff, seats for your canoe, fishing equipment, jackets, really good stuff sacks, and they made all this really good dried food. I like making that myself when I went into the boundary waters, but they would have that prepped for people, so if they wanted to go in, you could get 5 days of really good, lightweight, dried meals, and they were excellent at it and just loved doing it. You could feel the energy in the store. So when my friend Susie and I would go out to go paddling, we would always get our Boundary Waters permit there, right there in Two Harbors, and we would always end up buying something. Hmm. Oh, one of the last times I was there, I bought a canoe paddle, a bent paddle for the front that was made in the area. And actually, some people that made canoe paddles right in this area were sold there. So that just seemed like a really good business to have just as you were entering the North Shore and going up into canoe land.
Mm-hmm. Was it called the Canoeist, do you think?
Maybe.
Something like that, I think.
I can't remember, but it was wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just a block apart in where we remember it being.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to take a walk out there sometime, see if we can resolve that. But yeah, the idea that rental, you would think something like that could do well here again.
Absolutely.
And also, we have a great bike shop in town, but wouldn't it be fun to have, maybe they could do a branch. I'm not suggesting encouraging competition necessarily for Spoken Gear, but bike rentals down at the waterfront would be, maybe that can be part of the whole new waterfront design thing. Bikes and kayaks, you'd think, would be a going thing. There is a mobile kayak rental business that operates over on Burlington Bay, or has the last couple of years, I think.
Well, that's a new show that we could have. We have people write in for their dream places. Well, I guess that's part of what this program is right here.
Right,
Thank you again to everyone who has called in with ideas, and I believe that Fran has selected some pieces of music that reflect on the soda fountain places that were in town.
Well, a couple different. There's one for the soda fountain, one for the shoe store, and one for the Ben Franklin.
Wonderful.
So we'll take these one at a time here. This is Nat King Cole. It's an album called Drunk, 100 Smashed Hits. Disc two. But I searched for soda, thinking, I don't know if I'll find a sound for, song for soda fountains, but a lot of scotch and soda came up. I could play many different versions of that. But Nat King Cole did come up with one called Scotchin' with the Soda. And we'll hear that right now.
Scotchin' with soda. Scotchin' with soda. Sitting at the bar with a jar in my hand, scotching with the soda. I know I had an order, no had an order. Know it might lead to a life of vice, scotching with the soda. When you're feeling low down and the blues are haunting you, why not have a showdown? Just see what this magic little phrase will do. Scotching with the soda, scotching with the soda. Chasing my misery away, scotch, scotch, scotching with soda today. Scotch today, it will chase your blues away. Sitting sitting at the bar with a jar in my hand. Scotch, scotch with the soda.
Okay, after the Scotch and with the Soda tune, we heard Breaking in a Pair of Shoes. That went out to Ray's Shoes, the former business on First Avenue. And we have one more to share, but I don't want to lose people before we announce the prompt for the next week. And after some consideration, we decided on animal companions. Animal companions, present or past, loved, lost, longed for, or even regretted, perhaps. All species welcome. So we want to hear about your animal companions.
Some could be with legs, some could be without legs. I know people that have snakes for companions, rabbits. It's quite varied. Many of us have dogs, which I do. Mm-hmm. And it'll be really fun to hear from you, to hear about your animal companions throughout your life or now.
Exactly. And one of our volunteers, in fact, has a snake, and I'll see if I can get her to contribute to that next episode. And we will, in the future sometime, we'll have also a prompt about encounters with wild animals. But this is more aimed at your household companions or farmyard companions, domesticated, whatever. Yeah, looking forward to that. And probably we'll be able to find some good music to accompany that one.
Absolutely.
Too. Right. I wanted to mention on the subject of prompts at the beginning of the show, We talked about KGUA writers being the inspiration for this show. And I had a phone conversation with Mark Sanford Gross, the inspiration behind that show, last week. We've talked a couple of times, and lo and behold, they are using our idea of the prompt for this week, favorite businesses you might miss from the past. That's their prompt for the current week, as a matter of fact. That'll air on Monday, March 11th, on their station, kgua.org. It's 11 o'clock our time. Anyway, so it's a cross-fertilization thing going on here. The My Song or Your Song episode was their idea from a couple of weeks ago. And we'll be keeping an eye on their prompts, too, and I'm sure we'll be borrowing them again. I wonder if they've ever done one on animal companions.
And if any of you listeners have ideas for prompts, certainly let us know, because we can put in prompts of many kinds, and we would love to hear from you, not only your writings and your thoughts, but your ideas as well.
Absolutely. There's several people on our email list who have yet to contribute to the show. And what is it you're waiting for? Tell us what would get you to respond. We would love that. So you don't have to send in your answer necessarily. Just send in your prompt, and we'll put it out there and see what comes of it. All right. I only have to say the title of this one for you to know what store it is being played in honor of. It's instrumental, but it's called Ben Franklin Hotel Blues. That was really nice. That was Lonnie Johnson, rediscovering Lonnie Johnson with Jeff Lee Johnson, the Ben Franklin Hotel Blues. Well, Ben Franklin wasn't a hotel here, but we all have the blues.
But many people have the blues because it's no longer here.
Exactly, right. So now that we've transitioned into some music, we do have a couple songs left over from the My Song episode a couple of weeks ago. It was mostly people talking or writing about why they chose particular songs, and we didn't have time to play all of the songs at that time, the full songs, so we've been making up for it since. And so this is one that Moose requested last week. We played one for Moose, but this was his second choice, Richard and Linda Thompson from Shoot Out the Lights album, and it's called Walking on a Wire. So this goes out to our favorite radio guru, tech savant, Bruce the Moose Eklund.
Just hand me that same old refrain. I'm walking on a wire. I'm walking on a wire. And I'm falling. I wish I could please you tonight. My medicine just won't come right. I'm walking on a wire. I'm walking on a wire. And I'm falling. Too many steps to take. Too many spells.
I'm walking on a wire, and I'm falling.
Thank you, Bruce. What a beautiful piece.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for choosing that. Well, we have one more unplayed song. People are still willing or welcome to send in their requests, and especially if you have a story about it, how it came to serve some particular role in your life. And we probably will be filling in ends of programs with your choices of songs for the foreseeable future until we get so many submissions that we can't deal with them all. But that pretty much...
That would be a good problem.
Right. So once again, we are Listeners' Voices, and you can contact us through the email ktwhwriters@gmail.com. And the prompt for next week is Animal Companions, Past, Present, all species, whether finned or four-legged or whatever.
But of a domestic variety this time.
Right, domestic, and we'll get to wild animals another time.
So, Fran, thank you so much for inviting me to hang out with you here, and thanks to all of the listeners who are listening, and especially to those who sent in their ideas and thoughts.
Right, and thank you for taking me up on the invitation.
It's been
and
great.
I'm sure you'll probably get roped into this again sometime.
Yeah.
Thanks, Peg. And everybody have a good rest of your days.